Welcome to the Smart Franchisee, Episode 20.
I wish your podcast were around when I was trying to make a decision and after I had first signed on. This is just to be able to hear from so many different people, different concepts. You learn so much. It's invaluable. You're actually getting the advice and everything from the people who have been where you've been. They know what you're going through, and that's why they're so willing to help, because they know how difficult it can be, how scary it can be.
You're listening to The Smart Franchisee. If you're here to learn about which franchise is right for you, you're in the right place. We ask the questions and you get all the answers. Real franchisees share real experiences. Stay tuned so you too can quit your 9-to-5 and buy a franchise. Hey guys, it's Jessica. Today on The Smart Franchisee, we have Scott Burr, a successful YourPie franchisee. Scott decided to get into business to be able to spend more time with his family. We talk about his journey to find the right franchise, how he focused on building a team in his business, and what it's like to be the only YourPie franchisee in California, at least for now. Before we get into today's episode, I wanted to give a shout out to Peter, who left a 5-star review on iTunes. He says, "I highly recommend this podcast for anyone who is looking to get into the franchise space or run their own business." Thanks again, Peter, for letting everyone know that The Smart Franchisee is a must-listen for all entrepreneurs. Now let's get into today's episode. Scott, welcome to The Smart Franchisee podcast. How are you feeling today?
Jessica, I'm feeling great. Very happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
I am so excited to speak with you about your experience with YourPie franchise. But before we get into all the franchising stuff, please give us a brief introduction into who Scott Burr is, maybe what you were doing before you got into the franchise business, and then we'll go from there.
Great. My career, I was a golf professional for 26 years. I was the director of golf at a couple of different clubs here in the Coachella Valley. And I also spent 6 years teaching golf in Germany, which was a wonderful experience. About 5-6 years ago, got interested in franchising. That's what kind of led me to YourPie.
What an interesting transition from golf to business. What was it about golf that made you choose that as a career? That's very fun and exciting. I think it sounds like you're kind of living out a dream. What is it about golf that gets you so excited?
Well, kind of was living out a dream. You know, I made a decision early in my career that I didn't want to have a boring 9-to-5 office job. Sorry, don't mean to offend anybody with a 9-to-5 office job, but that's what I decided I didn't want to do. My life was sports. I love sports, and it was just a natural fit with golf. Got involved in that. Love teaching. I love helping people. That's also one of the reasons I did YourPie. Love customer service and love making sure people enjoy things and are having a great time.
Wow. So it sounds like, you know, golf, obviously you talked about, you know, teaching and helping people, and that probably goes hand in hand with owning your own business, right? Because as a business owner, you're constantly helping not only your team, your employees, but you're helping your customers, you're serving, you know, people. That's a great transition. Now, you said 5 to 6 years ago, you got interested in starting a business. What was it about starting a business that excited you?
You know, and I come across this so often in the franchising world and of the discovery days that I went to. You see a lot of people who have reached middle age, as much as I hate to say a middle age, that have a job that is corporate. You start thinking, wow, is this really what I want to do for the rest of my life? And my wife and I decided, well, we want to do a business for ourselves, obviously. And I'm not creative. I've never been a creative person. I'm great with customer service. I'm great helping people. But coming up with my own ideas, my own creativity, I'm really weak in those areas. So franchising was a natural fit for us. So we just started looking at all different sorts of franchises and obviously gravitated towards one that would be customer service because that's what I did for 25 years. So it sounds strange that, you know, you wouldn't think golf and restaurants have too much in common, but it's customer service. It's all about making the customer happy, helping the customer, seeing other people have a great time and enjoy themselves.
That's excellent. So If we could kind of walk through your franchise journey from the day you decided you want to get into business and then how you discovered Your Pie.
Sure. So going back again about 5 or 6 years, well, we met with a, I don't remember the company, but it was one of the franchise salespeople. I'm drawing a blank on the term for the type of company, like FranNet, FranChoice.
Okay, yeah, the franchise brokering.
Franchise brokering. Mm-hmm. We met with a franchise broker, and we ended up getting into a frozen yogurt concept at the time. For a variety of reasons, it wasn't going to work out with the timing. It was going to be a couple of years before we'd be able to open a store in our area. And around that time, we experienced fast casual pizza. Instantly fell in love with the idea and knew this was the future of pizza. So I started researching all the brands. I talked to at least 13 different brands, sampled everyone I could. Being in Southern California, a lot of brands started here, so I was able to try a lot of different brands. And just kept whittling it down, and I got down to two different brands. One of them was Your Pie, yet I had never tried Your Pie. I talked with a lot of people in the company, loved the culture, loved their attitude. And I decided to fly out to Atlanta, Georgia for a discovery day and to try pizza. So I got to Atlanta. It's kind of a funny story. I had food poisoning the day before and was feeling absolutely horrible, but had this discovery day set up. So I got on an airplane, hadn't eaten in probably 24 hours. I'm on the plane feeling horrible, have a couple saltines. I get off the plane in Georgia. Nothing's planned that night. The discovery day is the next day. I get off the plane and say, well, I'm not going to tell anybody. I'm going to go drive to a Your Pie. I'd never tried it. I'm going to drive to a Your Pie, see if the culture is really what they claim it is, the way it looks, and give the pizza a try without anybody trying to smooth me, not knowing who I am. So I walk into, it was actually a store in Perimeter, and love the vibe. It was bustling. Great atmosphere. Employees were just so helpful and friendly. But, right, still, it's about the food, right? So the food's got to taste good. So I get a pizza, sit down, hadn't eaten in probably 30 hours now. And I took one bite, and that was it. I knew Your Pie was going to be the brand. It was just the best pizza I'd ever had. And to this day, still the best pizza I ever had. So that's why some people would say a real chance in being the first one in California to open up a Your Pie. But when you've got the best pizza, I knew it was going to be a success.
What a great story. I love that you flew all the way to Atlanta just to get, that was a pretty expensive slice of pizza.
I hadn't thought about it like that till I got off the plane and I'm driving to Your Pie. I just flew to Georgia to try pizza. But I'm glad I did. It was the right decision.
You know what? I always feel like the best, and I think you did it 100% the right way. You go and you actually try the product or the service, go check out the environment, and you don't need to let them know who you are or why you're there. I think that gives you the most genuine feel, and you're right. You want to make sure they're not smoozing you and showing you the most perfect picture of how the business is going to be run. You want to see the actual thing. What does a customer see? What is the brand really like? So that was a great, great call. That makes you an official Smart franchisee. That's pretty cool. Now, you've tried the pizza. You went out to Atlanta. You know, you went to the Discovery Day. I'm pretty sure the pizza is what sold you. And then it kind of all worked backwards from there. When did you decide that, okay, you know what, I tried this slice of pizza, I'm happy, I'm going to move forward with this franchise. How did you decide that? And then what were the next steps you took after that?
So obviously, by the time I'd flown out to Atlanta, I had narrowed it down to two different brands. Seeing the store, tasting the pizza, it was almost a done deal at that point. But obviously, meeting with the corporate brass the following day and the Discovery Day, and the culture, it was such a great fit with the culture at Your Pie. Your Pie is, in my opinion, unique in that they're very authentic. It's a very authentic brand, and that goes from the top down. He's probably going to kill me when I tell this story, but I'm going to tell it anyway. When I was at Discovery Day, I was actually at one of the restaurants in Atlanta, actually the Buckhead store, and I was there, and the founder of the company, Drew French, walked in. He's wearing shorts and flip-flops. My first thought was, wow, that's a lot different from other Discovery days I had been to. After experiencing all the brass there, talking with everybody, that is the culture. The culture is being real. The culture is authentic. You know, in our stores, you don't see pithy quotes on the walls. You don't see the brand trying to be anything other than what they are, and that's just a cool vibe. And that was it from the moment they walked in at Discovery Day for the rest of the visit. So that was the clincher at that point. I was pretty sure I was going to do it. And about a couple weeks later, we worked out all the little details, and I signed the agreement.
That's excellent. So that's a pretty quick decision and then quick transition into buying the franchise. How did it go from selecting your franchise, you chose your pie, you signed everything, and then to when you first opened? How long was that transition, and what was that like, if you can walk us through it? Opening a food business is very intensive, so if you could kind of give us a little insight into what that was like.
Yeah, well, you know, I was a golf pro for 25 years, so I had a lot of experience with a restaurant. That's kind of a joke there. My being a golf pro for 25 years doesn't do much for running a restaurant. But that's why I chose a franchise, right? That's their expertise. My expertise is the customer service. So we signed actually July 15th, 2015, signed the agreement. Exactly 1 year later, we ended up opening the store. Our grand opening was on July 15th. Process went strangely very smoothly. I know that's really not the norm. But we signed. Then started obviously looking for locations. YourPie had a real estate group that actually flew out to help find a location. We selected 6 potential locations, and they flew out, and a representative from YourPie flew out, and we went and visited all locations, whittled that down to 2, and then started lease negotiation. And then after just a few months, we actually signed a lease and then started the build-out process. And everything actually went very smoothly. It was obviously, when you're a franchisee and you want to open your store, you want to open up today. You don't want these delays. And there are inevitable delays because you can't control what other people are doing. And, you know, waiting for the landlord to respond to the latest round of revisions, and obviously attorneys involved. So there are delays in that. But I think 1 year from signing to opening was probably on the quicker side.
So you mentioned that executives or at least a real estate group flew out from YourPie to help you with this, you know, finding the right location. And that shows that they're very concerned with, you know, their brand, and they want to make sure they set their franchisees up for success. Talking about the other points of getting your location up and running, how was the franchisor in supporting you? You know, whether it was making sure your construction was done right, or your layout, or finding supplies, was that an easy process as well?
Yeah. I don't know if it could ever be easy, but in my opinion, YourPie made it as easy as possible. Again, always going back to my expertise is customer service. I don't have real estate expertise. I don't have restaurant expertise, and that's where I relied on YourPie. And yeah, the CEO of YourPie, Bucky Cook, helped me in every process along the way with real estate. He knows a lot about real estate, has a lot of experience in real estate, and he helped me with all the numbers and forecasts and build out costs and every step of the way. That was part of the culture of YourPie, very involved. YourPie's not trying to build 1,000 stores. YourPie's trying to build successful stores and have successful franchisees. So yeah, every step of the way, they were a big help through the build out, through the construction process, for ground opening. We've got two franchise support reps from YourPie. They come out for 2 weeks and help with training. The CEO flew out for the grand opening. There's a lot of corporate support, and that continues to this day. I mean, I can call anybody, CEO, COO, the founder right now, have an hour conversation. It's that's what I love about this brand.
That's pretty awesome. Now, Scott, for our listeners out there, how many YourPie locations are there in California?
In California, let me see. There's one. That's me.
Yeah, you really, I don't want to say you took a risk, but that's a leap of faith to buy a franchise that is so far away and the name brand isn't maybe as known as well on this side of the country, on the West Coast. And to do this, and then to hear that you're getting that much support shows that they really do care. It's not just about the local franchisees that are, you know, easy for them to access. They're willing to fly all the way out to California, and that to the desert, you know, and come, take a look at your store and make sure you're up and running. That is really, really, really awesome. Now, Scott, are you still at one location? Are you looking forward to getting a couple more as well?
Yeah, I'm at one location now. Let me just, if I may, touch on just what you said about more or less taking a chance on coming out here with an unknown brand. In our area, the Coachella Valley, it's kind of like an island. And not only is YourPie not known here, there was no fast casual pizza anywhere in this area. I didn't see it as much of a risk because I was selecting, my opinion, the best pizza. And I thought that's the safe way to go. Rather than go with a brand name that maybe some people know from other areas in Southern California, if I go with the highest quality, the best pizza, that is what's going to take care of me long term. So in one regard, it was taking a chance. In another regard, everything was kind of unknown in our area. So there wasn't a lot of big brand recognition. Now, sorry, to go to the other question, my plans. Yeah, I do want to open up more stores. We've been open almost 3 years here. Obviously, very important to me to make sure that this store remains successful. We, about a little over a year ago, got a mobile oven, another thing that YourPie helps franchisees with if they're interested in. So I actually have a mobile unit it's mounted on a trailer. I could take it to go do festivals, private parties, all different kinds of events. So actually cooking on site, the exact same pizza, the exact same quality, which is, it's almost like a store in itself. Indio is actually known as the city of festivals. It's where Coachella Music Fest is, Stagecoach, and lots of other festivals. So it's just a great opportunity to take my store in Indio and bring it out to the rest of the Coachella Valley. So I've done that first, kind of trying to get my name known throughout the Coachella Valley. And then the plan is to open up probably two more stores in the next few years in the area here.
That is pretty. So it you have technically, I would say, one and a half locations, right? Because then you can kind of move around,
right,
and make yourself available without all that overhead, you know, that we as business owners have. I love that you talked about that your main concern was not, you know, going with a something that somebody might already know. It was the highest quality because that was going to get you through. And I think you're totally right. If you go with quality, whatever it is that you're doing, whatever industry, especially in the food business, quality is really, really important. You know, it will help set you up for success. What is it like, you know, for somebody out there who's maybe interested in opening a YourPie and maybe there aren't any YourPies in their area? How is that reception like from the community? You know, did you pique their interest by not having or not being as known? What was that like for you?
Yeah, absolutely. One thing I really like here, what happens a lot, and I was kind of surprised by this, we have a lot of customers, regular customers, who had no idea that YourPie is a franchise. They come in, they think we're a mom and pop operation. It's a very homey feel. We don't have necessarily a franchise feel to it. That being said, you know, there's consistency among all the stores. So customers come in, they get a great experience without thinking that it's a chain necessarily.
That's awesome. I think anytime a customer comes in and they feel, and I think that has to do with probably the culture you're setting in your business as well, that it's not that very, that chain-like feel, and it feels very homey, like you were saying. That's really important. I think especially in food, you need that comfort feeling because you want to go to a place that makes you feel comfortable. Food is a very intimate act. whenever I go and eat and the person serving me is in a bad mood, I automatically don't like the food, even if it's really, really tasty, right? Because it's a very intimate feeling. You want, you know, to have a nice environment, to feel welcomed and, you know, all that good stuff. So that's pretty awesome.
That's absolutely the truth, what you said there. It's an intimate experience, not to mention that people are coming in here spending their hard-earned dollars, and they deserve that great experience.
Absolutely.
You're absolutely right how important that is.
So, Scott, we know you got started with one location, and financing for a new franchisee is one of the most difficult things in the world. Could you kind of give us some insight how you were able to finance your location? Whether you went through outside financing, did your PI finance, was it personal? How did you get it? How'd you get that store up and running?
I wish it were personal, Jessica. I wish I had that money to open it up. But no, we went for outside financing through the SBA, did an SBA loan, which was actually a lot less daunting than I thought it was going to be. It was actually a fairly smooth process. I used a broker also, so I paid a few thousand dollars to a broker, and they sent it out to so many different banks. We got a number of offers back from multiple banks, so it actually made it quite easy, various offers from the different banks. So it was actually, I would highly recommend that. It's a lot of money up front to spend on that broker, but rather than going and pitching different banks and organizations, they did that work for me. And I got so many different offers back. It was easy.
Right. Well, that, I mean, I totally get what you're saying about that, that it is a little bit of money, but that's a small investment. I feel like I haven't met anybody who's actually used a broker to get an SBA. So that's pretty awesome that you're able to share that insight with us. But that seems like a really smart move. Your job as a business owner is to make sure your business is up and running. Part of that is getting financing. If you can outsource that to somebody who's going to get you the best deal possible, that's a very small investment and a very smart idea. Was that difficult to find the right broker? And how did you go about that for our listeners that maybe don't know that that's an option?
Boy, I'm trying to remember the name of the broker I used. I apologize, I can't. But I know there are a number of companies out there that do that. They have a lot of banks, I'll say, in their portfolio. And some of the banks specialize in restaurant financing. Some specialize in other kinds of stores. So, you know, they have, let's say, 100 banks in their portfolio. They know who to send my information out to. So if they send it out to 15 different banks, I get 5 offers back. And like you said, it was so worth the money. I wasn't sure at the time, but I didn't. The thought of going to each individual bank and pitching this just seemed like so much work and so daunting. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm a golf pro. I don't know how to do all those things.
Right.
So they did all the legwork for me. It was absolutely the way to go.
That's great. Very, very smart decision, especially as a new business owner. It probably gave you a leg up on making sure you got the right terms for financing, right interest rate, gave you a lot of options so that you could choose what was right for you rather than you begging a specific bank just to, you know, do you a solid. So that's pretty good. Now,
absolutely. And then being beholden to that one bank's terms. Now I could actually negotiate a little bit with the banks. We'll say, hey, this bank's offering this. What can you do? And we actually did that. So
for the mobile oven, was that part of your initial investment into your PI, or did you go ahead and do that at a later time?
I did it at a later time. So your PI corporate back in Athens, Georgia, they have a mobile oven. And this is one of the things that really intrigued me about your PI. I didn't see this with any other concept, and any Your PI franchisee within 100 miles of Athens, Georgia, could use that mobile oven. Well, we're not even within 1,000 miles of Athens, Georgia.
Right.
But I know one other franchisee had gotten their own mobile oven in Virginia. And I love the idea because our area, Indio, is the Coachella Valley. There are just so many parties and special events. It was such a natural here. So I knew that was going to be something I would be doing in the future. I just waited until the restaurant was solid, wanted to make sure operations here were going the way we wanted it to go, so that I could really invest the time in the mobile oven. Like you said, it's another half store in itself. It takes a lot of effort to do the marketing and to get that started. Fortunately, once we did get it started, word of mouth spreads so quickly. And I'm out at an event, and we have 2, 3, 4 people come. Oh, this is awesome! I've got to do this for my party, and they're asking us for all the materials, all the information. So a lot of marketing up front, but then it just kind of sells itself after that. That was after opening the store, that was the best decision that we made here, was to do that mobile oven.
Excellent. Did you have to go for outside financing as well for that mobile oven, or did the profits from the store take care of that purchase?
The revenue from the store was how we were able to do the outside financing. And that was very easy to get. It wasn't a very big investment. I mean, it was less than 10% of the investment in the store. So that was a very simple process. And fortunately, YourPie had already had a mobile oven for many years, so they had a lot of best practices in place, and you know they had been the pioneers, so they took all the arrows in the back and were really able to help me navigate those choppy waters to make it a lot simpler.
That's great. Now, Scott, if we could talk a little bit about getting the business in the black, getting it to be a little bit profitable. How was that process for you? Obviously, as a new franchisee, you know, after you open your first location, everything becomes a little bit easier. Your second, third, fourth probably will hit profitability a little sooner because you have, you know, a little more experience. You know what to do, what not to do. But for your first locations and the first time owning your own business, how long did it take for you to get in the black, and what was that process like?
Again, it wasn't quite as scary as I thought it was going to be. Well, I mean, let me take that back. It was scary. I mean, when you're doing the build out, and for 1 year, it's giving money out. And then finally, opening day comes, you think, oh, finally, we can start getting some money in. But then again, a restaurant always takes time until you are profitable. Fortunately for us, we were technically profitable after about 4 months, which is very quick, especially for a restaurant. We put so much effort into marketing, into doing a huge grand opening, really getting the word out. I chose a good location. I shouldn't say I chose. We chose a great location here that helped us to do that. So we were able to be profitable once we were able to get the labor under control. Obviously, in the beginning, we want service to be great, so we're really overstaffed. But after 4 months, technically, we were profitable. Wasn't gonna pay for a boat or a new car, but we were in the black.
Right, covers the bills, and you can probably sleep a little bit better at night.
A little bit better, knowing that we're not losing money anymore. So
absolutely.
But yeah, four months. I did not anticipate it happening that quickly. We thought it would be about 6 months, which is still optimistic. Definitely slept better after that.
Right. So you said it was really good marketing, making sure your customers were taken care of so that when they had a good, you know, first experience, they'll come back again, because repeat business is always super valuable. And then you said finding the right location. So those are the three things you did to make sure you set yourself up for success. And that's probably what led to the being in the black after about 4 months. Pretty cool. Very good ideas for anybody looking to get into business. Those are great tips.
Another recommendation, and I actually got this data from another concept, a completely different industry. Dessert, that they actually had the data for hundreds of stores. They had the data that showed the bigger your grand opening, the more success the store had short-term, mid-term, and long-term. So the takeaway from that for me was just go big with the grand opening. YourPie Franchising was on board with that. In fact, they almost require it to do that big grand opening. But again, such a great move, right? Because then you get the entire community. They know you're there. So I really think that huge, huge marketing push in the grand opening the first couple of weeks really fueled it. That's why we're able to be in the black so quickly.
That's great. Now, Scott, we talked about, you know, you had a 25 years worth of experience in the golfing industry and then decided that you wanted to start your own business. That's a scary move after having a lot of experience in one thing and having no experience in the new venture you're about to get into. Did you face any adversity in your personal life when wanting to start this business? Maybe any fears or doubts that you felt yourself, or maybe you got externally from friends or family that, you know, they express concern, but the concern is a little too negative. And how did you overcome that?
A lot. Adversity, I think we were more on the lucky side. We didn't have a lot of adversity doing it. Fears and doubts, of course. I mean, I worked as a bartender 32 years ago. That's my entire restaurant experience. So, I mean, going to something so completely different. Yeah, I mean, I had a lot of confidence in the product that we were selling. I had a lot of confidence in being able to provide customer service. My wife, Andrea, was a nurse for 20 years, actually in Germany. So she knows how to take care of people. That's her nature. So we knew we had the bases covered, but that still doesn't mean people are going to come through the door. I love the pizza. Doesn't mean everybody else is going to love it, right? We give great customer service. Is that important? So, yeah, boy, I mean, lots of doubt. And we're all in. I don't have a bank account with millions that I'm just throwing this out. I mean, we're all in on this. So, sure, lots of sleepless nights. But we were also dedicated, and we really put 100% effort into this, both my wife and I, to help ensure its success. So adversity, no. Fears and doubts, plenty, plenty. I mean, until we were profitable.
I think that's every business owner's main issue, right? Is that little voice in the back of your head that's like, oh crap, oh crap, oh crap, oh crap, oh crap, right? Like all the time. And I feel like it gives you a push to do a lot better. And I always feel like a little bit of stress goes a long way. Obviously you don't want to be fully stressed because then you can't think straight, but a little bit of that pressure, a little bit of that stress, it really pushes you to keep moving forward and making sure it's as successful as it wants to be. I know I spoke to another franchisee earlier, and I think it was David Perez. That was episode 2, and he was talking about, you know, the amount of effort he put into his first location and his second location because he was so scared was so much different than the amount he put into his third and fourth location, right? Because at that point, you're a little bit more comfortable. So, you know, I think that's pretty awesome, that fear and that doubt that gives you a little extra edge, which I wish I sometimes still had.
You're absolutely right. There's a great little golf story that would be a great analogy for this. And Lee Trevino, and for those who don't know golf at all, Lee Trevino was a very successful golfer in his day, won many major tournaments. He grew up dirt poor, absolutely dirt poor, and he hustled his way. And he would be out on the golf course, and he said, you know, this is stress. This is what gets you to work hard and concentrate. You're out on the golf course, you've got a $100 bet, and you've got $18 in your pocket, right? You have to perform. So, you know, I worked for 35 years, 40 years of my life, and now I've put everything into this. There's no option. I mean, I think the more stress you get under like that, the more fear you have. Like you said, that makes you work harder. That makes you dot the I's, cross the T's, and try everything you can to make sure it's successful.
Absolutely. That's a great lesson to be learned. That fear and that doubt that you feel when you start a business, that's a good feeling. I think some people get scared and they feel like, okay, I'm going to back out and I'm going to change my mind. I'm not going to do this anymore. Fear is important. Obviously, you don't want to be really scared. You know, it shouldn't be a negative, but it should be a little fear that, oh my gosh, I have to make this work, because that will always make you more successful. That's pretty awesome.
You need to double down and do everything you can to allay those fears, to try and make sure that those fears are unfounded. And then generally, you're going to prove yourself right, that it was the right decision.
Absolutely. Now, Scott, we talked about, you know, that you said the first 4 months to when you got profitable, it was really just getting the labor right to make sure, you know, that you weren't overspending on labor. As a new business owner, what is that like, and how difficult is it to find the right people to work in your store?
It's tough. I had a lot of experience in my jobs as director of golf hiring people, but a little bit different. I was hiring skilled position there, and here for a pizza restaurant, it's basically unskilled that you're hiring for. Didn't have a lot of experience in doing that. We knew what we were looking for. Tossing pizzas, cooking pizzas, it's not rocket science. We were looking for the right personality. So we were pretty sure on what we wanted. But then again, actually finding the right people. And as anybody who's ever hired before, it's people interview sometimes a lot different than they turn out to work. And that can be good and bad. So it's an ongoing process, which I still learn every single interview. And I mean that every single interview, I learn more about myself and the process. So we've gotten a lot better at it. I've been very fortunate, and I mean this wholeheartedly. We've had just an absolute great crew here. I've had a core group of about 8 employees for pretty much the entire time that have worked so hard for us and do such a great job and are really invested. I think a huge part of that, and again, this is the culture of YourPie. This is the culture that YourPie wants to set. We take care of the team members, and I don't necessarily mean in a monetary sense, but this is about them. I want happy employees. I know if we have happy employees who enjoy their work, we're going to have happy customers. So we're interviewing, we're hiring based on that. We want the right personality type in here, engaging personalities that are going to create a great experience for the customers. And if they're happy at work, that's going to happen automatically.
Absolutely. I think you're totally right. You're setting the right culture with your team. It helps them do a better job. And then obviously your customers get served. So it's like a win-win for everybody. It's this great cycle that they have to be taken care of. So the customers are taken care of and vice versa. That's pretty awesome. Now I do have to ask you this one question, Scott. Being so far away from the home office, it probably presents a little bit of a challenge, if I'm not mistaken, with sourcing food. Obviously, you're in the food business, so you have to, you know, have probably daily or weekly shipments of like dough and all the things that go on pizza. Have you still been able to keep your margins good on inventory for food, even though you're so far away from the home office and maybe don't get to use the same contracts that YourPie has in Georgia?
Yeah, great, great question. And that was a big concern of mine going in, being the only one. There was a store in Arizona, but still, we're another 4 hours, 5 hours past that. So it was a concern. Am I going to be able to get the same pricing? You know, California, our labor is already higher than most of the country, so costs are higher there. Now, if my food costs are going to be that much higher, it's going to be very difficult. So that was an important thing. Fortunately, the distributor for 90% of the YourPie stores has, I'll call sister companies. That distributor does not deliver to California, but their sister distributor does. So behind the scenes logistics, I don't know how that all works with the transferring between the two companies, but YourPie's done their work to make sure that I get the same distribution. And guaranteed on our 20 most ordered items that we get the same pricing as everybody else in the system. Produce, obviously California, I have an advantage over all the other stores because I get my produce from California. So save a little bit there. So yeah, fortunately the YourPie was really good at working out that distribution and making it a lot easier for somebody outside the general area to get good service.
And you didn't have to do that. You said they did that for you.
100%. They had that all set up, and all I did was sign the contract with my distributor. That was all done. Didn't have to do that. Now, I have the option of getting my produce locally, which is what we want to do anyway, right? The more you can source locally, the better it is. So, yeah, I go on my own for that. But, you know, YourPie had that all set up. That was all set up long before my store was even open, fortunately.
Yeah, so good to know. I think that's really important if you're looking to get into a food business, you know, and maybe any other niche business that has a requirement for, you know, inventory. And you're maybe really far away from the home office and major distribution centers. You have to make sure that franchise is helping you to make sure you get it. You know, at least at the same or very similar cost, because that's what will get you those margins are very small and you don't want to, you know, overstep. So you want to make sure you have that all set up. So very good to know that YourPie had that already set up, even without having a location in California. They were prepped and ready to go.
And also, it's important, and fortunately your pie is that, it's important to have a franchisor that's had the foresight to know which distributor to use. If it's, let's call it, say, a local or regional brand, and they're just using a local distributor, well, they can't expand. They don't have that infrastructure in place with the distributor. So very important to find a franchise if you're going to be out of the area, that they've had the foresight to have a distributorship that's going to allow for that.
Absolutely. Now, Scott, you talked about it a little bit earlier that you changed as a person because of this business. Can you give us a little insight on what aspects of your life have changed and maybe how you of a person has changed?
Boy, that's an in-depth question there, Jessica. We could go on for a long time there. Let me talk about something that was very unexpected for me. Even though I had hired people, employees, as a manager at a couple of golf courses, it's a lot different when it's now my money and it's my responsibility. I've taken on a completely different attitude with, I hate to use this word, I will anyway, with mentoring our team members. I feel a great responsibility to help them. Most of our team members are college students and high school students. Most of them, this is their first job. And I feel a real responsibility not only to train them properly to work at YourPi, but to show them how to be professional and how to be in their career going forward. And hopefully we've been able to do that here. It's been an absolutely wonderful experience. That's such a rewarding aspect of this that I was not expecting, being that mentor to them. And it's really forced me to be and act responsibly at all times to project that. And so I really like that in myself that, you know, maybe I'm not always professional, but at least on the outside, I'm acting professional. So that's been a big change there and a very rewarding experience.
That's really cool. I wasn't expecting you to say that. So very, very interesting. You're right. When it is your own money and your own time, you do value the relationships you build with your team. And I totally agree. You know, it is your responsibility as a business owner to behave and act exactly how you want your team members to behave and act, if not 100%, you know, more than how you want them to do it. Because, you know, they always say somebody does it like 50% of what you're doing, right? And so you always have to make sure you're, and I don't want to say like on because you're not acting, but you're right. Even if you're not, you know, on the inside, you know, 100% professional, at least what you're projecting outwards is professional and you're giving them the right attitude, giving them the right guidance and advice. And that's really important. I'm pretty sure that's why your team has stuck around for so long, is because you're not only providing them, you know, a job, which they're probably making, you know, great money, you know, for being in high school and college, but they're getting presented an opportunity to chat with a business owner and learn about your life experience and learn how they can carry and take this forward into other professions or careers that they choose. So that's pretty, pretty interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. And I have an open door, and I say this to everyone that comes to work here. Anybody who wants to learn the business, they can see all the numbers. I'll run through everything with them. I would love, and this is kind of my dream here. I would love to mentor somebody to the point where they would want to invest in their own YourPi and be so interested in. And we have a couple who are interested in going that route, and I just love to support that and support them in any way. Also, again, not to get too off topic, going back to what we discussed earlier, the more engaging we are with our team, the happier they're going to be. The happier they're going to be, obviously, it's going to reflect in their attitudes at work, in their interactions with the customers, and it's a win-win-win. I mean, everybody wins, so it really has been rewarding, and love to see them develop and hopefully we're helping to give them the skills to be successful in life.
That's awesome. That's really inspiring. Now, Scott, knowing what you know now, what advice would you give to a brand new franchisee?
Talk, and more talk with other franchisees. You cannot get too much information. Talk with as many different people as you can. To this day, I still rely on other franchisees, right? It's a great network of franchisees in YourPie. We call each other, we email each other. We're always looking for tips, advice, comments from others. The more you can do in the process leading up to investing in a franchise, once you've invested, do not stop doing that. I never, ever get tired of helping new franchisees, potential franchisees, or existing franchisees, because I know what it's like, and I know how nice it is to get help. You know, we're all going in, not all of us, but most of us go into this. We don't know what we're doing. I've never invested in a franchise before. I've never run a restaurant. I mean, everything is new to me, was new to me. So any kind of advice I could get, I just lean on other people. I promise you, if you cannot call a franchisee too often, if they're a successful franchisee, they know what it's like. They're willing to help you and take advantage of it.
That's so true. I think the reason for getting in a franchise system is because you have a group of people that you can call on for help. And I feel like that's not an exclusive members only club where you have to be a franchisee to learn about the business. You know, if you're interested in learning more about, you know, a business and your prospective franchisee, reach out to a few franchisees in the area, visit the locations, go to Atlanta and have a slice of pizza, right? And kind of push yourself out there so you can talk and chat with the right people and see if it's the right decision for you. So I think that's a great, great piece of advice. That's very valuable.
Your podcast. I mean, I wish your podcast were around when I was trying to make a decision and after I had first signed on. This is just to be able to hear from so many different people, different concepts. You learn so much. It's invaluable. You're actually getting the advice and everything from the people who have been where you've been. They know what you're going through. And that's why they're so willing to help, because they know how difficult it can be, how scary it can be. I don't know if everybody listening knows what DKDK is. DKDK stands for you don't know what you don't know. You have no idea what's coming down. I don't know everything, not even close, but I know a lot more than somebody who's just getting into it. You don't know that you don't know those things. So lean on us to help you.
Absolutely. Scott, you know, as you become a business owner and you become a leader in your organization, and as you start to evolve and change as a person, you know, there is some growth there. And I usually attribute some of the growth to things you've heard or listened to or maybe read. Are there any books, seminars, or classes you would recommend to our listeners that have really helped you and maybe had an impact?
All the reading you can do on whatever your field is. If it's restaurant, read as much as you can about restaurants. Particularly one book, The E-Myth. I believe it's Michael Gerber. E-Myth is an absolute eye-opener. And I think it's a very underlooked reason why so many businesses fail. Really, really put things in perspective for me. In a nutshell, what I really took from it is just because I know how to make pizza doesn't mean I'm going to be a successful pizza restaurateur. The E-Myth kind of puts it in perspective where you should be putting your efforts. I recommend that to any business owner, any field whatsoever. That's a great book.
Excellent. Great recommendation, The E-Myth. I think this is the second time this book has been recommended on this podcast, so I definitely need to get it on Audible. My husband has read it, if I'm not mistaken, two or three times. He keeps telling me, but I have so many other books that I'm trying to catch up on, but I think this one's going to definitely make the list today on Audible, and I'll start working on that. Scott, how has this business changed your life?
Wow, that's a deep and difficult question to answer. Changed in so many different ways. You know, one thing I haven't talked about, a big reason why we wanted to do our own business, I have two daughters at home, a 13-year-old, and as of today, a 16-year-old. And
wow.
I wanted to make sure that we were leaving something for them. Whether or not they want to run a restaurant for their career or not, I want to leave something tangible for them. So certainly it's changed my life in that the focus has been on what I think is the right thing, doing something for my family. That's why we spend so many hours doing this. And then also in that regard, it's changed my life. The first few months we did the restaurant, I was here every day, all day long, and started to get away from what I thought was important, which is family. So it's kind of taught me how to walk that line and have a good balance between work and family. It's really, lack of a better term, forced me into a situation to set up the team here in a way that I can go spend time with the family, which has been a great thing. I've given a lot more responsibility to multiple team members here, and it's taken a lot off my plate so I can concentrate on the important stuff. So, I mean, there's a hundred different ways I could answer the question, but that's certainly the big part there is the balanced family and work life, and makes you realize the important things.
That's awesome. First and foremost, very happy birthday to your daughter. That's a really, really exciting day. Thanks for chatting with me on her birthday. I appreciate it. You talked a little bit about, you know, balancing work and family. And I would love to, since we brought it up, talk a little bit about your time commitment. And you talked a little bit about delegating. I think that's really important for all business owners to realize, because in the beginning, it's just chaos. You're right. You are working all the time. There is no balance. You don't know left from right. You probably only go home to shower and sleep and then come back to work. But obviously, having been in this business for a while, you said you've delegated and you've kind of done that. How were you able to make that transition? And how easy has that been for you?
Yeah, well, first of all, I won't lie. It's difficult. It's difficult for a number of reasons. First of all, it's difficult to give up control. Obviously, I know how I want things to be here, and I know if I delegate and give up control, it's not always going to be the way I want it to be, which is okay. Sometimes they're going to do things better than I would have done it, or see things in a different way. So what we've done here, and I got this from another Yurkai franchisee, we call it Core Four, where we've got four core team members here. And major responsibilities I've given to those four. It's shared, so not anyone is overwhelmed. And each one of those four is training somebody underneath them to learn the core responsibilities that they're responsible for. So, for example, we have one coordinator's cost of goods coordinator. So they're responsible for inventory. They're responsible for ordering. They're responsible for keeping cost of goods in line. They're in charge of portioning, making sure everybody's portioning properly. They love the responsibility. It makes them a more effective employee. It takes a big thing off my plate so I can just review things and address things if they need to be addressed, rather than me spending time doing the ordering, doing the inventory, so on. So for the major responsibilities in the restaurant, we have that set up. And that is absolutely huge. And that's what's allowed me to not spend 18 hours a day here, and to be able to go to my daughter's performances and what have you, spend time with the family, or spend time out with the guests out in the lobby, making sure that their experiences are great. They always like to speak with the, interact with the owners. So that really helps, frees me up to do so many different things.
Absolutely. That's great. I really like that Core Four philosophy, and I may be stealing that idea. So thanks for giving it to me.
That was a game changer. That was truly a game changer.
Yeah, great concept to have four team members and have them share the responsibility and then have them train somebody else so that you always have somebody who's learning and they feel responsible for the business. I think when you empower people, they take it very seriously and they really step up and they show you a different level of responsibility. So that's great. Great suggestion. Even if you're not in the food business, or even if you're not interested in your pie, that's a great concept that you can take to any business, that Core Four, very valuable information. Scott, what are some of the goals you have for the future? I know we talked about opening more your pies, in your area or somewhere in Southern California. Besides opening more locations, do you have any other goals? Are you planning on getting involved in any other businesses?
No, I don't want to get involved in other businesses. I do want to expand YearPie. Like you said, I want to have probably two more stores in the area here. I'm really interested, and I touched on this very briefly a few minutes ago, I'm really interested in developing some team members here to be able to run the store, to be able to run multiple stores. I want to develop team members where I can actually give them a part of the business to do that and help them become successful. So kind of a direction I want to go in with that. Obviously, I want to expand for me and my family. But I really enjoy it. It's so rewarding seeing team members grow. Really kind of want to concentrate on that and spend more time with my family. I have a 16-year-old and a 13-year-old. In 4 years, a little over 4 years, we'll be empty nesters. So would then like to be able to have more time, spend more time with my wife and traveling. And I like to play a lot of pickleball. I don't know if you know what pickleball is, but
I do not.
I spend a lot of time playing pickleball. Wonderful sport. If you haven't heard of it, anybody listening hasn't heard of it, look it up. Fastest growing sport in America right now.
Pickleball. Okay.
Good name, really silly name. Silly name, but it's a great sport. And you actually have some courts, some public courts near you.
Oh, cool. Okay, well, I definitely got to go check out this pickleball that you speak of. I've never heard of it. I'm a tennis player. Is it something similar?
Yes. You definitely have an advantage if you've played some tennis. If you're adept at tennis, it's definitely an advantage. It's like a cross between tennis and ping pong.
Oh, and I love
ping pong. If that makes any sense to you.
Great. Yeah. Well, that's really awesome. Scott, I want to thank you so much for your time today. You've shared a lot of valuable information about YearPie, and I think it was really awesome that even after having such a long career in the golfing industry, you decided to take a chance and do something really awesome for your family. That's very commendable. Thank you again for your time, and I'm pretty sure you inspired a whole bunch of people today to get into business for themselves.
Jessica, thank you. Really enjoyed it. You've got great insight, and I really enjoyed it. Thank you.
If you like what you heard today, don't forget to subscribe. You can visit us at thesmartfranchisee.com. And most importantly, we would love a review on iTunes or Stitcher. Until next time, this is Jessica with The Smart Franchisee.